Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the third and final hour of the program for today. I'll be back tomorrow and we'll do it all over again. So I got a report from Leo Choquette, Ward 1 city councilor, that since he appeared here on the program in the last hour, he's gotten about 20 sign requests texted to him from people who heard him here on the program all across the city who are looking for signs to support Leo and the fire union in their campaign to preserve firehouse number 9, engine number 9, that whole Tarkon Hill fire station apparatus, right? The personnel and the equipment up there that protects Ward 1 and Ward 2. But interestingly, Leo points out that the sign requests that challenge the mayor and his decision making on the fire union weren't just from Wards 1 and 2. No, they were from all across the city. So within an hour of him appearing on the program, he's got a tremendous continuing groundswell of support for his position and the position of the fire union to preserve engine number 9, the station house up there, and all the firefighters' possessions. Leo tells me more than gotten around 20 sign requests, not just from Ward 1 and Ward 2 to use that fire station, but also from across the city. So a lot of people are joining in with Leo Choquette to try to preserve that firehouse. Be interesting to see if he's able to pull it off. We'll be watching, right? And again, the mayor has said he won't have to close that fire station if he could get the union to agree to reducing the number of firefighters per apparatus from 4 to 3. The fire union and their leader, Billy Sylvia, has pushed back and said the standard for safety is what we currently have, 4, and a reduction of 3 is inadequate. But the mayor says, look, that's all we can afford. So that debate will continue. 508-996-0500. Kind of open phones if it's on your mind. I'd like to hear about it. Very interesting article in the New Bedford Light, there usually is, about the audit, the position of our state senator, Mark Montigny, who of course represents Fairhaven, Mattapoisett, Acushnet, Dartmouth, and the city of New Bedford, where the senator lives, pays taxes. Senator Montigny, he was a friend of mine, and I've disclosed that multiple times here. You know that. Is a maverick, okay? He's voted against additional money for the migrants in the shelter system. I mean, he was originally going along with it. It got so absurd, he reversed himself and was one of the only Democrats to say no more shoveling money, like with the State Department, at illegal aliens here in the Commonwealth. Now, the other Democrats went along with it. Why wouldn't they? The governor tells them what to do. But Senator Montigny kept his integrity intact, in my opinion. He's also voted against the gasoline tax. He's campaigned against tripling the auto excise tax. Credits me with bringing it first to his attention. Before the governor got to him, I got to him. And I did it on behalf of you, my listeners, who I knew how you felt. And so we were able to stop that one that time. And by the way, continue to block it because it got sidelined once again. But the reason it's getting sidelined is because we have a maverick Democrat like Montigny, who does join up with the Republicans when it's in the interest of me and you, his constituents. He doesn't always do what we would like him to do. We know that. But like I said, he is a maverick with his own mind. And I appreciate that about my friend and my senator, who I will be voting for in November. And I hope you will join me. So, New Bedford Light has an article about the audit. The audit. Now, I brought the news to you first, but I do appreciate the New Bedford Light doing a story on it, really getting in depth. And I encourage you to go to newbedfordlight.org and read it. But I'm going to play a little snippet of the article with a robot reading it, and then we'll get to the phones if you want to be part of the program. But here, I think it's important to hear at least the start of the article. But you can go and listen to yourself. Sorry, Jimi Hendrix. You can go and listen to yourself in its entirety at newbedfordlight.org. But here we go.
Senate plans to provide audit documents to DiSolio. By Allison Kuznets/State House News Service. After resisting, the Senate plans to provide financial information that Auditor Diana DiSolio has long requested as part of a probe of the legislature authorized under a 2024 law. The Senate voted 33-6 last week to pass a resolution saying it will promptly provide records discussed in recent litigation. The resolution also lays out the history of the Senate's dispute with the auditor and reserves its right to object to an audit as unconstitutional. New Bedford Senator Mark Montigny was the only Democrat to vote against the resolution. In a written statement to the Light, Montigny said he supports releasing the financial documents immediately so that a fully transparent audit can begin right away. But he couldn't support the resolution in good faith because it didn't settle the question of whether the audit is constitutional, he said. The balance between the public's clear demand and any constitutional bounds should have been swiftly put before the Supreme Judicial Court, and we can still do so in order to prioritize the public's trust and finally end the ongoing legal disputes, Montigny said. Senators Cindy Friedman and Paul Feeney said the branch is voluntarily handing over the records. We are taking the affirmative step of providing those documents forthwith, Friedman told reporters. These are documents that are not difficult for us to put together because they exist publicly. And because they are public documents, we do not feel that there is any issue because this is our work and what we're doing. All five Republicans, Senators Kelly Dooner, Peter Durant, Ryan Fatman, Patrick O'Connor, and Bruce Tarr, voted against the resolution, along with Montigny. While the Senate was voting, Speaker Ron Mariano's office released a letter to House members declaring that the House is working with leading transparency experts to craft comprehensive legislation that will provide long-term solutions to the concerns that we continue to hear from our constituents. The effort is partly due to an advancing ballot question that would apply the public records law to the legislature and governor.
Okay, so that's from the New Bedford Light. You can check out the entire article. I have a robot read it to you at newbedfordlight.org. But again, I thought it was worth highlighting that Senator Montigny breaks with his party when it's in our best interest, or he feels it's in his best interest, to keep his constituents in the forefront of his mind. So consider that in November. 508-996-0500. Open phones, whatever's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning, thanks for holding.
Yes, my friend, how are we doing?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Well, I got some issues, but we'll deal with it, I guess. So we have to do it in order.
Yeah, exactly. You have no choice.
Senator Montigny, you're trying to get some money for the city is a wonderful thing. But what does that stand now when it means going to the House to get the House to go along with that and have it become law?
So I am going to guess, and I certainly could be wrong, that it's going to be okay in the conference, which is what happens. They go to conference to work it all out because Tony Cabral, my understanding, has assured that it will, he'll make it through that and it'll come.
Now, is Tony the representative for that fire area, or who is the rep up there?
That would be, well, remember, it's got a bunch of different representatives up in that area. It's maybe Hendricks. It could be Mark Sylvia from Fairhaven. It could even be Olette from Westport. Ward 1 is totally, and even could be Markey from Dartmouth. Ward 1 has a whole bunch of different representatives, yeah?
Well, certainly, whoever the representative is of that of the fire station, should be on top of this and be trying to promote it. Tony Cabral is way down in the south end, you know, I think, basically, right?
Yeah, but the whole delegation has to work together. There's five of them, and they do, and Tony is a senior guy.
Well, again, I would still say if I was a rep and that was in my district, I would certainly, want to get ahead of the ball game and be at the head of that effort to try to do that sort of thing. All right. Well, okay. That's part of what I wanted to say. And the other part of what I wanted to say is, the mayor started out saying that we had a surplus, from what I understand, listening to the radio station. And then it went to, no, we actually owe, $13 million or something. And then it went to this absurd $30 million. It doesn't show that me that they really got a handle on the budget and that don't really know what he's doing. Or maybe he does know what he's doing. And the thing I think that the mayor is really trying to go at is watch over here and look out over here, is I think he wants to go after the medical. And there's some changes that have to be made on the medical for all the city workers, because that 75-25, that would be a big swallow. And, who has that around here? You know, do you have a 75-25?
I do not.
I guess not. Okay. So I know I don't. Okay. So to me, that's the thing that I think the mayor might be going after while he's got you looking at all these other things, you know. So what say you, my friend?
No, look, the mayor has, you shouldn't even have to speculate on that, because he's been saying that for years, mm-hmm. that he wants a change. He's put forward a couple of options. The unions don't like it, obviously.
They fought really hard. I know they don't want to see a GI or the CIT.
Yeah, that's one of the things, too.
The GCI, whatever it is, Government Insurance Corporation, I think it is. Yeah, and I can understand that. But certainly, all right, you keep the same plan, but instead of paying $75.25, you pay now, $65.35. You know, I'm sure that would help with the budget problem very much. And I know it's a loss for the city workers, not all of them, because I don't think AFSCME has the same thing as the police, fire, and teachers. That would be, you got to give something to get something. I don't want to see that fire station close down. But at the same time, you can't just be all give, and we didn't give up anything. You know, what kind of negotiation is that? So with that, I could see that if the mayor was going in that direction and not telling you, that's ultimately where he wants to end up. That would be one thing. But he doesn't look too good with this. Say we've got a surplus, and then no, it's only $13 million, and now it's $30 million. I watch Bob Ekstrom on TV, mm-hmm. and he seems to be on the ball. You know. But that shows, incredible incompetence, I think. But again, all sides got to give a little something here, you know. And again, I know the medical wouldn't be a little something, but who has that around here? Can you tell me anybody who has that?
I don't believe that plan 75-25 exists for any other people around here outside of the city of New Bedford.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, I think that came about back when we had all the factories and all the, businesses here, they were going 2-3 shifts, so you had that money, and now we're just not that New Bedford anymore. So I think there has to be some recognition of that, too. And I'm not saying take the GIC, because I've heard that's not a great program, but some compromise has to be made there. And it means a loss, yeah, but you just want to just get. I know, being on a fixed income, I'm not getting. I don't think you're getting either, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Thanks for the call, my friend. Thanks for the contribution to the program. Let me play the union advocate here. what the union would say, I would imagine, certainly they can call in if I get this wrong or if I get it correct and they want to supplement it. I know I got a lot of them listening, which I appreciate. The union would say, yeah, we've also given up X, Y, and Z to maintain that health insurance mix, the split that we have, the 75-25. We've given up, and I don't know what it is, but they've given up whatever to maintain that benefit package. And that there have been times before when other mayors and this mayor have tried to change that mixture, that percentage, and in exchange to keep it 75-25, we gave up whatever, okay? Those are details I don't know, but I'm telling you, I believe that's what happened, and that's what the union people, who have the full right to call in and say it themselves, would say, that we negotiated for that rate, and we'll negotiate again to keep it. Or we'd like to keep it, we'll negotiate. But I have heard, and again, a lot of this is speculative, rumors, but that, as an example, I am told by someone in government that the town of Dartmouth loses employees, particularly in the education department, to the city of New Bedford because the health insurance deal is so lucrative or they would call reasonable, for the workers. Much better deal than what they're offered in Dartmouth, and that many people, particularly again in the education department, start teaching in Dartmouth, but that they quickly decide it's better to go across the border to New Bedford, where they make a lot more in terms of take-home pay because of the health insurance that the city has for their workers. So is it possible that you could face additional shortages in workers if you try to change that mix? Sure. Sure, anytime you start messing around with compensation packages, benefit packages, you do risk losing workers. So 508-996-0500, that's how you can get on the air. Seniors, pay attention. Knowledge is power for Bristol County seniors like you. Please join us at the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors at Whites of Westport on Thursday, June 12th from 9 until noon. I'll be broadcasting live. Seniors are invited to enjoy a free breakfast and a resource fair with speakers, giveaways, and important information. That breakfast is really great. This special free event is presented by our district attorney, Bristol County District Attorney Tom Quinn, and Coastline Elderly Services. A special thank you to our platinum sponsors, Anodyne and Eternal Health, and the gold sponsors, AARP of Massachusetts, Bristol Elder Services, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, keeping it local, Senior Medicare Patrol, and United Healthcare Community Plan. For questions and answers, or to RSVP, please call Brian Rose at the DA's office at 508-961-1972. I'll repeat that again. Call Brian Rose at the DA's office at 508-961-1972. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
feel all right when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. I had a really nice meal on Sunday down at Cisco. Natalie and I went down there on a Sunday afternoon. She, boy, they have just a great, the place was jammed. Cisco down the south end. I know they've had some noise issues down there, but seemed to be really, everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves. And really, really good. We had a really marvelous waiter. The young man, name was Kane, I think. He's a hockey player, played semi-pro hockey, and now is waiting tables, and he's from Montana. And Natalie knew right away he wasn't a local. She said, I said, how'd you know? She goes, he's too friendly. He was, like, all compliment, not too friendly, but that he was too friendly to be a local person. Of course, she wasn't born here. She was born out of the air. So she always looks for an opportunity to make a remark like that. But anyway, the young man told us he's teaching school now, and that's what he's going to do. And he's from Montana. Now he's waiting tables right now, I guess, till September when he starts teaching school. Going to teach in Fall River. So anyway, we had a really nice meal. Great atmosphere down at Cisco in the south. It's not certainly not the first time I've been there. And I like all the serve well restaurants put together by the Silverstein family, where I used to buy clothes all those years ago. But it was really jammed. Not to the point of uncomfortable, but every table was full. They had plenty of staff and plenty of room. And the outside area down there, I think it's a... They've done it a lot with that place. And we even stayed for dessert, which is not something, although my other lunch companions will say otherwise, but it's not something I normally partake in. But we got a marvelous dessert down there at Cisco. So anyway, as well as entrees and appetizers, really good meal at Cisco. 508-996-0. And in fact, a pop musician named Jason Derulo, who's very popular. He stopped by here the other day. They called ahead, and Gazelle actually, they said he wanted to go out to lunch, and was there anybody around? And so Gazelle took him, and they said, well, we'll take him to Cisco. So anyway, it's a good place. 508-996-0. Open phones if it's on your mind. I want to hear about it. Let's see what's going on. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Hello.
Talk about restaurants.
Yes.
I was meaning to call, but WBSM was off the air on the AM recently.
Yes.
So I wanted to thank a couple that I went on my birthday out to a restaurant, and I went alone because I couldn't find my brothers, my sisters. They're busy with their lives. My friends, a lot of them are sick. So I said, I'll go alone. So I went to a restaurant, and they were almost finished eating, this couple, and they turned and asked me what I bought. And I said, oh, I ordered my favorite, and I told them. And I said, I'm here because it's my birthday, and I enjoy this restaurant. It's my favorite, and I'll get my favorite dish. So they sang happy birthday very quietly from their table to me, and I was very touched.
Yeah.
And then when I was finished up eating, they were already gone. Mm-hmm. And after I finished eating, the waitress came over and she said, your dinner has been paid by the gentleman that was over there, and he wishes you a happy birthday.
Oh, that's so nice.
I was so touched by it.
That is such a lovely gesture. Really is.
And I told some people this, and they were with a lump in their throat saying, yeah, I can't believe, but there are truly good people in the world.
Yes.
And I would have thanked them, and I could pay, you know, but I was so thankful that I met them, that I sat near them. So I wanted to shout out that maybe somebody hears it. I don't know if they were from out of town or from this area. So that was my story.
No, that's a wonderful story, and I'm so glad you shared that with us. What a touching story. See, there are a lot of good people out there. That's my experience, too. There's a lot of great people out there.
Yes, and thank you for playing the Rolling Stones bumper music.
You
because
like
today's Charlie Watts' birthday.
Charlie Watts' birthday.
He died.
He did what? He did die. His daughter, I understand, lives or has a house on Nantucket. She could be listening right now. Happy birthday, Charlie Watts.
I have a huge scrapbook since I was a teenager of all the Rolling Stones, and I have a picture of that girl when she was a baby. Oh, she was gorgeous.
Really?
Yes. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you, my friend. You know, Scott Lang was their lawyer.
Oh.
The former mayor of New Bedford, Scott Lang, was the Rolling Stones lawyer because they lived in Massachusetts and recorded an album back in the late 70s.
Oh, I know that Charlie had a signature. He signed certain albums that were jazz. It wasn't with the Rolling Stones. And I wouldn't buy it because I only wanted the one with his signature because it was a random, like 50 signatures that he did on his jazz album. And I didn't buy it because I wanted the one with his writing.
Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Thanks for the contribution to the program. Isn't that a great story? Right, not just the Charlie Watts story, but also going out, right? Her family was a little busy with her own lives, as she put it. And so she was having dinner. And so, what a wonderful story. Someone else, the couple, picked up the tab for her, even though she could have afforded it. They did it for her. What a great gesture. And there's a lot of good people out there. There really are. And I do appreciate that woman sharing that story with us. It's one of those stories you want to hear more of, right? People doing good things for other people, paying it forward, so to speak. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the program. Yeah, there were a lot of graduation, people having high school graduation parties at Cisco. That's what, because Natalie got talking with someone in the ladies' room, and the woman said that they were there celebrating the daughter's graduation from Dartmouth, I think it was. Dartmouth High School, not Dartmouth College. That would be a long way to go, but I guess those people around here go to Dartmouth College. So, I like getting out, going to restaurants. There's a lot of good opportunity. Like I told you, I was at Rose Alley on Friday afternoon with Tom Hodge and other people. And it's good to get out. In fact, like that woman said, she didn't have family to get out with, but she was happy to go out on her own, right? And ran into a really nice couple, had a great experience, so great that she wanted to tell us about it on the radio. And I do appreciate that. But getting out of the house, look, it's very hard to get out in the winter. Certainly, I get that, right? I'm not friends with ice anymore since I've had my illnesses. But I get out as much as I can and get out, socialize, see other people, make new friends, make mistakes, have new experiences. That's part of life, and this is the season to do it. The weather is finally broken. It's not too hot, not too cold. Soon enough, it'll be really hot, but right now it's perfect. It's a perfect time. Take it out and go to Rose Alley, as an example. Sit on the deck out there. Or the other places downtown. Stay inside at Rose Alley if you'd like. They got a downstairs bar as well. There's plenty to do, plenty of places to go, and the key is to get out of the house. Enjoy it a little bit. Move around. Get the blood pumping. Talk to other people. Read a book. Go to the library. Take a book out. Read it. Make sure you return it. And it's a lot to do. Get out of the house. Move around. Go to Rose Alley. Go wherever you want, really. Go to the library. Go to the bookstore. go clothes shopping, whatever it is that you like to do. The age of delivery is nice. Certainly. In fact, Tim and I were talking about Walmart delivery at the crossover. Because it's something that I don't really do. But it's done for... Basically, I'll give you a peek behind the curtain. It's done for me, okay? I tell people, and then they order stuff. And it gets sent to me. And lately, it seems to be Walmart. Walmart delivers groceries. Which is kind of nice. Kind of nice. Although I did want... You know what I like? Fresh fruit that's been chopped up already, like pineapple or watermelon, strawberries, and it comes already in a mix, you know, in a container. So I said, hey, to the person that does a lot of this for me, I said, I want pineapple chunks. And they ended up getting canned pineapple chunks, which, I don't mind, but you can taste the preservatives, the chemicals, whatever they use to can them, which I'm glad they're able to do it because I do like the product. But if I have the option, and usually I do, to get fresh pineapple chopped up for me, not preserved in a can, although I'll take the canned stuff if that's all that's available. But I do like the fact that you can order it on the internet, and Amazon has changed life for shopping. And again, if you see me out in public or if you've been here a guest on the program, you know this. I wear a lot of tracksuits. The reason I wear tracksuits is because it's easier for me. I've got some deficits in my hands as far as strength and coordination. So like buttoning can be difficult for me, but zipping's all right. So I wear a lot of tracksuits. Plus the fact that no fluid comes out of my body except at dialysis means that sometimes I'm heavier than I should be, and I find that tracksuits make that more comfortable. And so anyway, now you don't have to go to the store or anything. You just order it right online. Tracksuits from Nike or Adidas, whatever you want, right, either from the factory or through Amazon. I don't handle the ordering, but I just select them and go, yeah, I want that, I want that. And but you don't have to go to the mall anymore. You don't have to do any of that stuff. And that can be good, but my point is you should get out of the house, whether it's just to exercise or go to the... I got a good friend of mine who's relatively young. He and his wife had a baby recently, and now they go to the mall just to walk around, get out of the house, get some exercise, stimulate the baby a little bit. So there's reasons to get out of the house. But now that the weather's better, there's almost no reason not to get out of the house. All right, I see you on hold, but I got to take a quick break. Really short one. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996.
I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his face. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
You know, I wanted to just bring up the fact that, you know, people keep talking about, oh, people are hurting. Everyone's hurting. But yet when you go to restaurants, like you say, I don't see people hurting. The restaurants are jam-packed.
Jammed.
It costs a fortune to go out to eat today. I go out to eat usually once a week, and the bill is always over $100 for two people. We do each have like probably two cocktails each. And, I mean, I've been places where a martini is $17, but your average cocktail today is $13. Mm-hmm. Your meals today are ranging in the 20s into the 30s, and some places in the 40s. And when you go to a place like Cisco or the Black Whale, I mean, me personally, for me, the Black Whale is way overpriced for my pocketbook. I don't really eat there because fish and chips today, is $25, $28. It's crazy. And then if you get any type of steak, you're looking at $35, almost $40. The prices, the cost to eat out has become so exorbitant. So are people really hurting? I don't think so.
No.
I mean, and it's just like food insecurity. They keep yapping about, oh, food insecurity, food insecurity. I don't see many people, thin people walking around. I mean, I watched a movie last night, and it was an old movie with actually Marilyn Monroe was in it and Lana Turner and Lauren Bacall. And they, women back then were so thin. Their waists were literally 23 inches. They were beautiful. They were so thin and delicate little creatures. And you compare them to these buffaloes of today. I mean, these kids, they're 14 years old and they have the body of a 60-year-old. They're huge. So food insecurity, I say my butt. There is no food insecurity. There's too much food that people are eating and too much poor quality food.
Yes.
And sadly, some of these, even some of these places who want to help people, they have like a food bank or a food truck. You know, it's all junk. It's Campbell's soup. It's like a hamburger helper, potato chips. It's just a lot of junk food. And I think, you know, we as Americans, we need to get back to eating healthy because we are really a sad state. If you walk around and you look at people, it is like shocking to me. And probably because I watch a lot of old movies. You know,
right.
Like Jimmy Stewart at one time, when he entered the service, he was underweight because he was so thin. You know, people back then were thin. Today, people are just so overweight. And young people, old people, many of I do have to say though, a lot of the elderly people, many of them are not obese, but people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, wow, it's crazy. But the only other thing, I want to just make one comment.
Go ahead.
I know Mark Lentigny is your bud, and you're kind of, you know, promoting him. But I'll tell you, if we need to make change in this state in November, we need to vote everybody out, including Mark Lentigny. He's been in office long enough. You know, he really hasn't done the job. And if we were to look back on his record, he's voted along with all the Democrats. And in fact, in January of this year, he signed a bill that went to Maura Healey and Andrea Campbell talking about requesting that Massachusetts undertake several actions to prepare to respond to, when appropriate, to prosecute federal officials who abuse their federal authority here in the Commonwealth when they're arresting illegal aliens. You know, I say come and get them. Come and get them. And he voted. He signed the bill. Along the letter, along with all his and many other fellow Democrats. And like I say, if we were to look back in his history, he is a Democrat through and through. He may go off the rails every now and then. And now, you know, you're considering him maverick because he's bringing $500,000 to New Bedford. But in my opinion, it's a day late and a dollar short. He should have been doing a lot more throughout his career. So we can't really be throwing roses at him today. What we need to do is unseat him along with every other single Democrat in this state if we are going to change the state. And that's the only way we can do it.
Thank you for the call. That's why Senator Montigny is glad he doesn't have Rochester, where that woman could not vote against him. But Senator Rodericks has that woman in his district. Hey, look, my opinion is we changes can be good, but you're not going to vote out all the Democrats. I'm an active member of the Republican Party. I had the chairman yesterday, Amy Carnevale. And the Republicans aren't even putting up enough candidates to make a significant impact in the legislature. Even if all the candidates that the Republicans are putting up won, which they're not going to, I mean, that'd be a statistical anomaly. They're not going to do that. They would not have control of the legislature. Even if all the candidates that they managed to put up won, they would not have a majority in the legislature. So the idea of throwing out an experienced legislator like Senator Montigny, who I think is a moderate, certainly in this climate in the legislature, would be a foolish move for the towns of Mattapoisett, Fairhaven, Dartmouth, Acushnet, city of New Bedford. Not to include Rochester. So I think that would be a really stupid move. But again, I have my vote. Everybody has their vote. And you'll have a ballot in front of you, and you can make a choice what you're going to do. 508-996-0500. But I certainly appreciate that woman. And by the way, I know she's very involved in the question of building a new old colony. we are in conversations here, started with Tim Weisberg, to bring in the superintendent of the Old Colony District, who's looking for a revote in June on building a new Old Colony. We're going to have the superintendent of schools in to talk about that. All right? So we try to get both sides of the issue going here. That's very important. All right. I gotta take a. Oh, I got somebody at home, but I gotta take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. It's quite a painting that that Rolling Stones just painted for us, right? 508-996-04. What's on your mind? Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
I just wanted to call and thank Kathy for that laugh. That was very funny. And I don't mean this in a way, because she's nowhere near old enough to be my mother, I'm sure, but she reminded me of my mother. She said it a lot nicer than my mother used to, but... Yes, my mother would say, people eat more in a day here than she ate during World War II in England. She said, I didn't eat that much. The whole time the war was on. And she would just always say that about, look at these people. How can they eat that much? What's going on? Yeah. But she just made me laugh, and I appreciate that. That's funny.
No, I was laughing too, but look, people are... I mean, it's amazing how much we have to consume here for food, variety of it. It's incredible, right?
Right. And there's a lot, like she said, there's so much junk and so much of it. I'm with you. I can smell the preservatives, like those pre-made salads. You open them up. They smell like preservatives, and they're getting brown on your plate as they hit the air. It's disgusting. And people are so used to eating that now, they just don't know how to do anything else.
Thank you for the call. No, the restaurants are full. That is a good sign. And very competitive. You got to put out a good product. And I name some of the restaurants I go to. Some of them are sponsors. Some of them are not. And certainly... If people don't put out a good product or have a good atmosphere, you're not going to go back. But we know who does, and we know, going back. And, hey, I can remember when my parents were still alive and they were going out socially, and relatives of ours from New Hampshire and places like would be coming down, and there were always certain restaurants they would go to in the area. They knew they were going to get a good meal, and they were proud to take their guests to, and we have restaurants like that in this area that you're proud to take people to, because it is a reflection of you or the restaurants that you choose to go to. And I think it's a sign. Look, gasoline is ridiculously expensive right now. We understand that. I'd rather have high gasoline than have the crazy mullahs have a nuclear weapon. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But certainly... people have faith in the economy and in themselves if they can go out to restaurants and spend money, as Kathy said, right? So anyway, continue listening to the program. We got a good economy with lots of advertising here, and that's because you're all good consumers. Stick around for Barry. He'll have a whole lot of great information. He'll be taking your calls at 508-996-0500. I'm going to go across the street, get all my blood taken out of my body, cleansed, and then put back in. And God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. John Mitchell will be with me at 11 o'clock. We'll have other programming up until then. Have a good time. Have a great day. Enjoy the sun and